Many project managers spend years mastering every process, group, and memorizing every input, output, tool, and of course, the techniques. Are these important? Absolutely, but they are part of the ingredients that make up the final outcome of the actual project. See, some project managers never truly experience the real life of living on the project terrain. As Bruce Lee said one time, he said, learning is never cumulative. It's a movement of knowing which has no beginning and no end. Are you stuck with the map or are you ready to explore the territory? Do you mind if I share a short story with you? I remember the first time I was scheduled to present my project status update in front of the executive. And I was excited. Okay, let me be real with you. I was a little too excited because I had built this beautiful status template report, and it was color-coded, perfectly formatted, clean milestone, budget, risk, issues, dependencies. I rehearsed how I would talk through every section. Don't judge me, project managers out there. We all been through this. And if you haven't, you will go through this. But I digress. It was my turn to present. And just as I was about to present, he gets a text message. He stands up. He says, I have another meeting to go to. Edward, can you walk with me and give me the update on where we're at on this project? Now, I'm going to be honest with you, family. My heart just dropped because at that moment, it didn't matter how polished my template was. Either I knew the information on the slide or I didn't. You remember back in the day, the emergency broadcast system would run a specific warning and would say, this is a test, only a test. And this would be a signal that the broadcast would basically testing out the emergency alert system. Well, my body was signaling, we have an emergency, ED. There was no time to overthink. And I had to nail this major point on the project right away before going into the conference room where he was going. And fortunately, I did. I had studied the project well enough to speak to it without having to glance at my slide deck or an actual script. But at that moment, changed everything for me. See, family, I realized, what if I'd been depending on reading from a template, or what if I hadn't taken the time to understand the project deeply? Then it clicked. Templates don't make you credible. Understanding the project does. And this is what brings me to our first point in today's episode. Stop hiding behind templates. They're useful, yes, but they should support your expertise, not replace it. I think I just said something. It should support your expertise, not replace it. Let's talk about it. Point number one, stop hiding behind templates. Templates are helpful, but they are not a replacement for critical thinking. Over-reliance on template, it leads to rigid thinking, and it really prevents innovation. Here's my actionable tips. I would love for you to experiment. Create a stakeholder engagement plan, a communication plan, or even a project charter, and see if you understand it. Now, don't even look at, see what you understand about the actual template. And then my next one is explain project processes without looking at the PMBOK or a cheat sheet. Can you look at the 49 processes and put them in a way that you understand them that is relevant to the project that you're leading? And my next and final one is use a whiteboard session with your team to co-create a project schedule or even components of your project management plan for scratch. Point number two, perfection is not professionalism. Many project managers believe they must get everything perfect before taking action or making a decision. Okay, maybe I'm just talking about myself. I was one of those people that I wanted it to be so perfect. It had to work. It had to be so right. And during my journey, I learned the perfect that I got it, or as I made it more perfect, the worse the opportunity was. I know it sounds weird, but it's the truth. Because see, perfectionism leads to delays. You start over-engineering. Then you miss opportunity. And I'll be transparent with you. If we're really going to be honest, we're all family here. It's probably a mask for fear, not a sign of mastery. So experiment with these actionable tips. Deliver version one of a deliverable and improve it after feedback. Set a timer, whether it's 30 minutes, 60 minutes, and complete an actual draft without stopping to polish it. And at the end of every project review, identify where perfectionism slowed down the actual team. Point number three, shift from processes to driven to, shift from processes to driven to people driven. That reminds me of one of the values in Agile, which is individuals and interactions over processes and tools. And, you know, that's so poignant because what ends up happening is we get so caught up in our processes and we forget about the main ingredient, the main hoorah, which is people. See, a map teaches you processes, but the territory demands people skills. And I know what you're asking, Ed. Well, you're talking about this map and this territory. See, when you look at a map, if you've never been to the actual territory, you will make an assumption of what the territory is. And it's just like leading a project. What project is until you actually do the real thing, until you actually have pragmatic experience and really go through the gauntlet of project management, you're never going to understand how important it is, because it's important because you lead and you inspire humans, not Gantt charts, not a project charter. You as the leader of that project team, experiment with some of these actionable tips. Conduct informal and formal interviews with your team to truly capture the heartbeat of the actual project. Ask the team members how they prefer to be held accountable. That is key, family, because if we know how you want to be held accountable, it sets everyone up for success. Is it email? Is it me giving you a call? What does this look like for you so we can hold each other accountable and I know what your accountability is? And practice active listening in your next conflict conversation. I'll be honest with you, I'm still working through this. This is why I talked about in the beginning what Bruce Lee talked about, learning never ends. So I'm still learning this point because I understand the importance of being able to have active listening when you are, especially in a conflict situation. You want to understand, first of all, where is this energy coming from? What are they really trying to convey? And their emotions is getting caught up in the way of what they're trying to convey. And this is one of the things that I've worked on a lot and continue to work on. Point number four, learn how to read the room, not just report. Listen, data never tells a full story, but you know who does? People do. So this is important because emotional intelligence can save a project faster than any status report that you put out there, that you present. Here, I want you to experiment with some of these actionable tips. Pause before responding in meeting. Observe the body language. And then my next one is debrief one-on-ones. Basically, have one-on-ones with your after your group meeting to gather unspoken feedback. Point number five, get comfortable having strategic conversations with executives. Now, I told you in the beginning about how I had that meeting with an executive while I was in a meeting getting ready to get my status report update. And one of the things I've noticed from just talking with other project managers and just even experience it firsthand is a lot of times people feel that executive conversations are intimidating. And I disagree. See, project managers often assume these talks must be rigid or formal, but they're actually chances to share insight, build trust, and influence decision-making at the highest level. It's not about reporting everything. It's about highlighting what truly matters. Why is this important? Executives are looking for clarity. They're looking for confidence. They're really looking for a strategic foresight than anything else. So when you speak their language, you focus on the outcomes, not the outputs. You position yourself as a leader, which you should be and which you are, and not just a task manager. Here's some actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Prepare one strategic insight or recommendation, not a status report. I repeat, not a status report. Before every executive meeting, open the next conversation by asking, what is your biggest concern or priority regarding this project right now? Practice explaining project impact in 1 minute using a so what lens. Why does this matter? Why does this matter to the business? This is a good example. Point number six, master the art of reprioritization. Listen, we all know if you've ever led projects, you know priorities has an ability to shift. So your skill is knowing when the shift takes place. Why is this important? Sticking to the wrong priority? Well, it will be definitely deadly for you because of the fact that it's not going to go in your favor. So I recommend testing out these actionable tips. Rank your three priorities weekly. At the middle of the week, do a check-in to see if any of the priorities have shifted and make sure that you can make sure they're aligned with the current alignment of the project. Ask stakeholders which changed during the week. And then the last and final one, build a stop doing list next to your task list. I am so guilty of that, where I would build, when I say I'm guilty, meaning I would have this huge list of all the things I needed to do. Until one day I said, I'm going to build a list of just things I'm just going to stop doing so I can provide more value to the team as well as the stakeholders. Point number seven, listen to what project teams don't say. I shared this with you before. One of my mentors, he gave me this consultation about learning to listen what people don't say to you. And a lot of times you can get that through communication, whether it's verbal or nonverbal. But project teams may often omit key fears or the outcomes of the project because they're nervous to speak up because of what may come with it. So your ability to decode what is not being communicated sets you apart from other project management. This is what I would recommend as a for you to experiment as these actionable tips. In your next meeting, ask, what are your biggest unspoken concerns? Now, I want you to sit back and watch for hesitation or, you know, those vague phrases. Oh, everything is going well, or, oh, no problems over here, Ed. And then you want to follow up offline. And then what you want to do is really schedule that one-on-one with those individuals. If you're feeling something, you need to trust your gut. You need to trust your instinct. And then reflect after calls. What did I sense but I didn't hear? That's a key one. What did I sense but not hear? Point number eight, test your tools in high stress environments. Listen, when I started in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, I don't know what they told you, but I'm going to explain it to you. I was excited. Matter of fact, I was so excited because of the fact that I had all these tools I was ready to use when I walked into the project. But I failed to realize tools are only as useful as they are resilient. See, you'll never know if your RAID log or your Kanban board or any other type of document works unless you test it. So here's my actionable tips for you to experiment with. Audit how often your team actually uses your tool. Have you ever created a communication management plan and you stored it on your shared drive or in the cloud somewhere, or you just sent it out via email and then an escalation happened or we need to communicate with somebody? What's the first thing that they do? They come to you and ask you, hey, who is that contact such and such? And you're like, oh, it's on the communication management plan. Oh, who is that stakeholder? Oh, it's on the stakeholder register. So it lets you know that, maybe I need to make some adjustments and some, adapt it and train the team better. And when I use the word train, I mean set them up for success, because you don't want to be a bottleneck in the project. And also ask your team, if you had to throw away one tool, which would it be? And I know that makes a lot of project managers nervous because they're like, I need all my tools, which, hey, the tools are important. But again, as I stated, the resilience of having the ability to lead and leverage the tools is going to have you to have the success that you're looking for. Here's my final advice, family, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity today. Don't just learn the map, walk the territory. You've mastered the inputs, you've mastered the outputs, you mastered even the tools. And let me guess, you studied the processes, memorized the frameworks, and perfected the templates. But mastery doesn't come from memorization. It comes from mobilization. So here's my 3 points, and then I'll let you be. Stop hiding behind templates. Don't let your confidence rest in a document. Know your project so well that when you speak to it anytime, anywhere, any place, I'm almost wanting to go into a song, but I digress. With or without the slide deck, you can have success. Number two, perfectionism is not professionalism. Waiting for perfect will always delay your progress. Mastery comes from momentum, not over editing. Share your ideas, ship those drafts, and improve in real time. And the last and final one, shift from a process driven to my favorite, a people driven. Your Gantt chart won't finish the project. Your team will. Build the trust. Listen deeply, lead with empathy. And most of all, there's real magic when that happens. Family, only ask one question and one question only. I'll make a statement, I should say. Don't just listen to these episodes. Experiment. Choose one actionable tip to experiment with from today. Put it into practice this week, because the map that might guide you may not be sufficient enough, but it's the territory that will actually grow you. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.